There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
We have compassion. We want to keep families together. It's very important. I'll be signing something in a little while that's going to do that. And the people in this room want to do that. And they're working on various pieces of legislation to get it done. But I'll be doing something that's somewhat preemptive, but ultimately will be matched by legislation, I'm sure.
There is President Trump from just minutes ago, earlier last hour. And another political flea flicker for President Trump. He says he's going to be signing something in a little while, you heard there, to address the spike in number of migrant children being separated from their families at the border. And that's how we get kicked off here with Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. President said this during a White House meeting with members of Congress. He said, we want to keep families together. The comments come amid news that Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen has been working on executive action that would end the separation process. Trump also told reporters he plans to cancel the annual congressional picnic. Say it ain't so, Prez. He said it doesn't feel right to have a picnic for Congress. I think bipartisan-wise, he scored a lot of points there. He said, we need to solve this immigration problem. So no picnic. It is not a picnic. It is time to work. And it looks like an executive action would come in first. Then you would have whichever piece of legislation. Of course, yesterday we talked with AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne about the Cruz plan, Ted Cruz plan, and seeing if that would be the solution. One thing you can argue here is that an executive action will give time for Congress to make sure they do this correctly. Does that mean they do it correctly? You make the call. But gives Congress a chance to act on this. I will say, I said it this morning, I'm going to go ahead and put this on record as well, that the first member of Congress, if we're having an immigration bill, right, if we're dealing with separation of families, we're dealing with maintaining our borders, the first member of Congress that puts in some kind of rider for some unrelated bill, like, okay, I'll vote for this, but we're going to have funding for, you know, whatever building in their home district or something. We're going to get their name. We're going to get who it is, and we are going to absolutely put it out there. This is what happened. They get in a crunch in Washington, and people say, "Well, you know, I'd like to vote for that, but I sure would like to have this." And then you start tacking riders on it. Number one, makes the bill take a lot longer to do, and number two, it isn't right. There's that. It isn't right. So we'll keep our eyes on that. But yeah, so a stopgap measure of sorts here, as you have a chance for President Trump to go forward with the executive action, and then the legislative branch, you know, like what the way it's supposed to work, where laws are supposed to come from, you know, legis, the Latin, legal, laws, you know, that legislative branch where they make the laws, then they got to do their work. So we'll watch that, and we'll talk about that coming up. On today's show as well, talking airport and Mobile Airport Authority Executive Director Chris Curry had a presser earlier today to talk about this feasibility study for moving the Mobile Airport from Farmers Terminal Allen Airport to Brooklee. And we'll play you, when we come back, we'll play you that press conference from earlier. And then, because I already see a lot of texts coming in asking multiple questions here about the things that were laid out of that presser, well, lucky for us, we're going to be joined by Chris Curry, and he's going to join us in studio at 1 o'clock today. And so you got specific questions, like you're asking me here on the text line. I don't know the question. I don't know the answer, but I know the person that would. So the executive director of the Mobile Airport Authority, Chris Curry, joins us here in studio at 1 o'clock. But we'll get to that presser in just a second. And a reminder, too, Summer Better Than Others prize giveaway. Baldwin County, it's your time. The box has moved to Old Time Feed in Fairhope. Also, we've got to get a winner for the Carrot Patch location. We'll do that when we get back right here on Midday Mobile. It's FM Talk 1065 online at FMTalk1065.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
All right, 1217 FM Talk 1065. Staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams said another muggy and hot one today. A fewer number of thunderstorms than we've had in the past few days, but still thunderstorms in the mix for today. And then we get to the weekend. It looks like actually a little drier over the weekend. More from Dr. Bill coming up at about 1235. And by the way, too, Some Are Better Than Others contest in week number two now. And but first, though, before we start talking about what's going on at Old Time Feed in Fairhope, you got him on the phone? He's on. Okay. We got to give away some prizes here. Hey, is this Jeff Stouter?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jeff Stouter, you are a winner. We got your name from the box at the Carrot Patch there in the Pine Brook Shopping Center, and you won 6mm Akoya Pearl studs from the Carrot Patch, and now you're in the drawing for the grand prize, over $5,500 worth of gear from all our sponsors. So good work, man.
Well, wow, that's exciting. I appreciate it.
Do you know who's getting those pearl studs yet, or is that going to be a secret?
I have a good idea.
Thank you, Jeff. Hold on.
You'll be excited.
Absolutely. I imagine so. It's a good job. So, Jeff, good stuff. You got those 6mm Akoya Pearl studs set in 14-karat gold, a qualifier prize from the Carrot Patch. All right, this week, right now, the box is at Old Time Feed in Fairhope. So you can go by Old Time Feed and drop your name in the box, and then we will, this time next week, we'll be drawing another winner, winning a $50 qualifier prize and being in the running for the grand prize package valued at over $5,500. So good job, Jeff. You're in the mix. You're one of the finalists. You're the first finalist in the contest, so you could be the next one. Remember, Old Time Feed, stop on by. You'll see the registration box. Once a day, you drop your name in there, and we'll do a drawing next week. And maybe that'll be you. And, oh, speaking of our partners here, the Cart Doctor, Gray Gulf Charters, Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, and Goldfingers. You know, I just got back, so I went over to Goldfingers to see Bill and Will and Sean and the gang at Goldfingers, and I had not had the Goldfingers the chicken tenders. I had not eaten there yet, so I wanted to make sure before we got going and got to tell you about Goldfingers. I went to eat over there. Wow. Wow. And I'll tell you this. Now, they have the great fried tenders, but I started, while Dalton's gone, I've started the, I'm going to try to do like Dalton and get on the summertime diet, you know, just, I don't know, it's more for swimsuit. I really don't think so, probably just more for health. And so I'm so fried, now protein and meat and stuff I'm doing, right? I'm doing one of those kind of diets, but the fried stuff is out. So what do? They have broiled tenders at Goldfingers. I went to the one on Dolphin Street, and I was thinking, yeah, broiled, you know, I mean, you do this if you're trying to, you know, not eat fried food. You do the broiled somewhere, and it's, like, not as good. Yeah, it's sometimes really, really not as good as the fried food you're used to. Goldfingers broiled were crazy good. I don't know if that's a technical restaurant term. That's a Sullivan Eves term. Crazy good. Check them out. Seriously, if you're doing that, if you're trying to not do the fried food, or you're doing like a protein diet or something like that, a keto or what is it, paleo or any of the O's kind of diet, a hidey-ho diet, whatever it is. If you're doing that diet and you're trying to stay away, go get the broiled tenders at Goldfingers. They are really good because, you know, they're, you know, often I'm just not going to name places, but you go places where you normally get the fried chicken of some sort and you get the broiled, and it's just not, it's like, you're like, yeah, this really stinks. The Goldfingers broiled tenders. check them out. They're really good. They're in Saraland and the location I went to today on Dolphin Street. All right, I want to get into... all the details on the Some Are Better Than Others contest on our website and our Facebook page. Now time to get into the press conference today about the feasibility of moving the Mobile Regional Airport from Farmers Terminal, right, the location where it's been for decades now, down to Brooklee. And this is something I talked about. I got that study, was reading through it last night. I posted up some pictures on the Twitter feed about this. And I got to tell you, the language in the feasibility study, I'm not trained in this, so I understood some of it, but I used some terms and some things I wasn't familiar with. But it was good to hear the press conference earlier today with the executive director of the Mobile Airport Authority, Chris Curry, because it put it into some words I could understand. So we're going to play you that presser from earlier, and we're going to roll to that in just a second. And then coming up at 1 o'clock today, Chris is going to join us in studio. So I'm already seeing on the text line lots of questions. People have questions about what they would, specific questions about an airport move. We'll get those answered in the 1 o'clock hour. So you got your questions, get them lined up, get ready. Chris Curry will be in here starting at 1 o'clock. And also, our online opinion poll question is about that. Go to the front page of fmtalk1065.com. It's the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll. Do you support moving Mobile's airport to Brooklee? Let us know how you think when you vote online, front page of fmtalk1065.com. All right, let's get to that presser from earlier. Here is Chris Curry.
Well, good morning to everyone, and welcome to the Mobile Aeroplex at Brooklee. I'm here to provide you with an overview and discuss the results of the Mobile Metropolitan Airport System study. At the end of my briefing, I will answer any questions that you may have. The Mobile Airport Authority owns and operates the Mobile Regional Airport and the Downtown Airport at Brooklee. Mobile Regional Airport serves as a commercial service airport, and the Downtown Airport at Brooklee serves general aviation and aviation roles other than commercial service. As you are aware, the roles of these airports has been discussed for many years. Due to the amount of public business interest, and more importantly, our desire to make the airports beneficial to our residents, we decided to hire a professional consultant, VHB, to perform the study. The FAA-funded study began on February 1st, 2018, and was recently completed. Some of the factors considered in the scope of work are as follows. Is it more cost-effective to make Brooklee a commercial airport than provide improved road access to Mobile Regional Airport? Not only would it be more cost-effective, but given the development that has occurred over the years, it would be extremely difficult and time-consuming to acquire the land necessary to provide improved access from Interstate 10 or Interstate 65. Will changing roles of the airport allow us to attract better air service and retain a greater share of users that should be using our airports? There are several low-cost carriers that have expressed interest in Brooklee providing commercial service. These airports would not consider Mobile as a location if they were operating out of the regional airport. The only way to drive the cost of fares down in our community is to create competition, increase destinations, and provide better access. Via Air, our newest carrier at Mobile Regional Airport, was only interested in Mobile because of the opportunity to eventually start from the Brooklee Airport. At the Mobile Airport Authority, we have provided travel data that allows us to better understand the behavior of passengers in our catchment area or passenger retention area. Our passenger retention area is the geographic area from which we can reasonably expect to draw commercial air service passengers. It is defined by several factors, including geographical and access considerations and proximity of alternative airports. So when I describe the catchment area around Mobile, considering the location of other airports, you can draw a circle around Mobile Regional and go about an hour to the north because of proximity to Montgomery. You could go about 30 to 40 minutes east to west because of proximity to New Orleans, Gulfport, and Pensacola airports. Those are the people that we expect to use the Mobile Regional Airport. However, we currently retain about 53% of that traffic. So 47% of traffic that should use regional airports are going to other airports. We must try and reverse that trend. The other possibility of moving commercial service to Brooklyn involves bringing passengers closer to the airport. Passengers usually use the airport that are closest to where they live. So bringing commercial service to Brooklyn puts us closer to 138,000 passengers that we don't have with Mobile Regional Airport. Are there any major infrastructure project that should be taken in consideration for this study? Certainly. The eventual build of the Mobile River Bridge project was considered as part of this study. This would reduce the amount of time to travel from the Eastern Shore to Brooklyn, with the last interchange ending at Virginia Street, just one exit south of the airport. In addition to the advantages previously mentioned, there are other positive attributes that would complement commercial service at Brooklyn. Brooklyn is bordered by water, rail service is on the airport, and better access to the interstate system than we currently have at Mobile Regional Airport. After careful consideration of construction costs, economic potential, community business stakeholder input, and an analysis of strengths opportunities, this study shows that the relocation of commercial service from Mobile Regional Airport to the downtown airport at Brooklyn is feasible.
All right, there you go. So is feasible. And we come back for the break. We'll get the second part and some of the Q&A from Chris Curry, Executive Director at the Mobile Airport Authority. And reminder, Ms. Curry's going to be in with us at 1. And so I'm seeing on Twitter and on the text line some specific questions. Well, you got a chance to get those specific questions answered. All you got to do is line them up on the text line. You can call in on the phone line after 1 or put them on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. I want to check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and talk some tax-free money buy-in. Am I close on that?
Many people are still learning about the fact that there's no sales tax anymore on gold and silver bullion or rare U.S. coins, rare U.S. currency. Talked to some folks last night and even this morning, and they didn't realize that as of June 1st and for the next 5 years, that law is in effect. You can come by the shop, pick up a one-ounce piece of gold, and you don't have to worry about any tax liabilities.
Okay, and the next 5 years, so that there's we're in a try-it-out period here or something in the state?
Yes, sir. Yeah, the law was passed with a timeline of 5 years because they want to see what is going on with this, how it helps the coin dealers, how it helps people that are buying and collecting coins in Alabama. And also, the state wants money. That's why they had that sales tax out there. They want to have some coin shows come into the state of Alabama, and they want to see how that is going to bring additional revenue and additional people in. So we're actually looking forward to having some coin shows, really nice coin shows, maybe even one here in Mobile.
That would be cool, because I know you travel all over for those coin shows, but it'd be nice to do one here at home. All right, what else is hot for gift ideas at Mobile Bay Coins?
A couple of the things that are very popular right now are the Morgan silver dollars. Ron has a huge collection of silver dollars that have sort of been built up over the last month or so. We've been busy with some other projects here at the shop, so we have a mini hoard of our own of Morgan silver dollars if you want to come out of the shop and check those out. Everything from common silver dollars all the way up to some beautiful certified MS-64 and 65 Morgan silver dollars available for sale.
All right, great stuff. Angelo, give us directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590. Or better yet, go into Facebook, start following Mobile Bay Coin.
Good stuff. Angelo, thanks for checking in.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. All right, coming right back, more of that presser from earlier from the Mobile Airport Authority Executive Director, Chris Curry. And we'll check in with Dr. Bill and National News right now.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1235 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. We'll get right back to it. Press conference from earlier today talking about the feasibility study, feasibility of moving Mobile Airport from current location on the airport at Farmers Terminal, I think the official name, down to Brooklyn. Let's get right back to it.
This study shows that the relocation of commercial service from Mobile Regional Airport to the downtown airport at Brooklyn is feasible. At this time, I will answer any questions that you may have.
What are some of the costs associated with relocation? Construction costs and other things that you guys have to take into account?
Well, we would have to take into account what would it cost us to build a new terminal and perhaps improve some of the road access into Brooklyn. We don't have an exact cost for that at this point, but we know those are costs that we would have to entertain. Sir?
How would the immediate community profit or benefit from Mobile Regional Airport becoming part of Brooklyn?
Well, I think there's certain there's a lot of advantages and ways that the community could profit. If you look at cities where airports have developed, there's a lot of economic benefit that surrounds those airports, whether it comes from new businesses or new hotels. In addition to that, a viable airport at Brooklyn could really support some of the interests in downtown Mobile. For example, Mobile is a great conference location. We have a lot of tourism around Mobile as well, and good air service at Brooklyn could complement all of that.
This display
that you have to the left of you, are these red boxes for anything, or the things that are outlined in red, is that specific, or are you trying to display anything, or is it just kind of for us to get an overview? Yeah, it's not
specific
to anything air travel related. Those are locations in red where Continental Motors exists today. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yes? What would be the plan for Mobile Regional if you knew commercial growth?
Well, we would simply switch the roles of the airport. So right now, Mobile Regional Airport serves commercial service. It would probably become more of a general aviation airport. It would also support some of the local and big businesses that are located on the airport today. And again, this process will not happen overnight. We expect it to take years, perhaps 3 to 5 years for it to happen. So it's possible that commercial service will be at Mobile Regional and Brooklyn at the same time. No, we would maintain the major tenants at Brooklyn. Sir?
How would moving passenger terminal service to Brooklyn affect the industrial development of the airport?
That will all be taken in consideration during the master planning effort. That will be the next step for us to undertake. But we do not see the commercial service component interfering with the industrial build out of our tenants.
You touched on this just now, but saying it's feasible to do this is one thing. Saying, yes, we're committed, we're going to do this, is a different thing. Is that the next step to make that decision? And how does that work?
Well, the next step is that I would expect the board to accept the study. We are in the process of renovating an existing facility to serve as a low-cost carrier terminal. Keep in mind that when Via Air came to Mobile, they were interested in Mobile because they could eventually operate out of Brooklyn. Following that, I would expect a full-blown airport master plan, which would cover the next 20 years of development for the airport. This will take in consideration our existing facilities. There's a forecast and airport layout plan that's approved by the FAA, and it would look at the environmental impacts of improving Brooklyn to a commercial standard.
Are there any concerns over federal funding that was used for the regional airport, maybe being having to pay back or reimbursed in some way if you move the airport?
We've had some of that discussion with the FAA, and certainly that will be a consideration. But it's our feeling that if we slow down with capital improvement projects at regional, and then we start to use some of the resources from regional to help improve Brooklyn, we think that we can come to a reasonable understanding with the FAA.
The plan with regard to VIA Airlines, you're going to have them eventually in, say, months or sometime soon begin the commercial air service from Brooklyn. You mentioned you were constructing a low-cost facility terminal. Is that the plan, and then kind of build out from there?
Yeah, the plan would be to take an existing building and renovate it so that it could serve as a low-cost terminal. And then perhaps in the spring of next year, we would be prepared to move VIA Air to Brooklyn.
Would they operate out of both airports?
They would only operate out of Brooklyn.
So in the any future terminal development here at the site of Brooklyn, we got that far down the road, would you see having a separate low-cost terminal than another terminal for traditional airlines?
I see that as a great option for Brooklyn. I think it will improve our chances of attracting more airlines and providing more destinations to the customers of this region.
And what is the potential for attracting more airlines and being more competitive with cost with regard to moving to Brooklyn? Have you got some interest from other airlines that, well, look, if you guys are downtown, we'd love to come in, but...
Well, you never know until you sign the contract, but I can tell you that in our conversations, that's Brian and I, in our efforts to attract new air service, when you mention the idea of Brooklyn to the low-cost carriers, they become very excited.
Will the process of developing the master plan include opportunity for anyone with concerns about noise or whatever issues? Area residents, for example, will it be
opportunities
for them to weigh in?
Absolutely. This master plan will probably take as little as a year to a year and a half to complete, and there are several opportunities for public input into that particular plan. One component of the plan is that it will evaluate the environmental impacts of having commercial service at Brooklyn.
Is it possible we can have a copy of the feasibility study?
We will distribute sort of an executive summary to you today. If you want a full copy, then we'll give you contact information as to how to get that.
Is there a price tag on what this all will take?
There is no firm price tag at this time, but those prices will come through the development of the airport master plan.
Will the authority have to purchase land in order to complete development of a commercial airport here?
We do not need any additional land to start commercial service. But again, one of the elements of the airport master plan is to evaluate, as the airport grows, whether more land will be necessary for commercial service.
The lady that's sitting right here have a question.
I'm a resident in the Maysville community. I live between Hertel and Duval Streets. And my grandfather bought that property there in 1951. We have some concerns relative to what the plans are. You discussed all of the advantages of the airport being moved out here to Brooklyn. I remember when we were small, we came to Brooklyn Air Force Base for the open house every year. So this is how long I've been living in this community. You discussed all of the advantages of the airport being moved out here, but you did not discuss any of the downsides. And I'm sure there are probably downsides. Touch on that, please. And will this be, what I'm saying, given to the board in your study or in the study that you were given?
Well, thank you for that question. The concept of the Metropolitan Airport System study was only to evaluate the feasibility of moving the airport. Once we get into the master planning portion, that will be the next step for us, then we will go into details involving cost and other factors that are important for the development of this airport. As far as the disadvantages, I really don't see any disadvantages to moving commercial service to Brooklyn. One of the factors that we must consider is how to develop the Brooklyn Airport for commercial service, but also balance the needs of our industrial users. I think there's a careful balancing act associated with that. But other than that, I don't think that there's any disadvantages that I can see.
And so this won't have any effects on the people, the residents, the community, the churches, Williamson High School, in the plans that you want to move forward with?
Well, again, all of those issues, if they are issues, will be discussed during the master planning effort. Again, the purpose of this study was to get us from A to B so that we could solve the conversation of whether Brooklyn was a viable location for commercial service.
Okay, one other question, and I'm speaking now because I don't want to speak on this. Well, I didn't bring that up at the meeting. Big shots were there, and you were there. Do you have anyone from this area who represents the people in this community, from Purcell Street to Virginia, Dauphin Island Parkway, over to Michigan Avenue? Is there someone on your subcommittee or whatever you want to call it who is representing us? As we have some concerns, and I don't know if it really affects the Mobile Airport Authority. It really related a lot to our representatives, but we're going to get into that. But I would like to know if you have anyone who speaks for us.
So again, I will defer to the airport master plan. As part of that plan, there will be TAC teams that are developed, and there will be representation from every facet of the community on those teams to provide public input.
What will happen?
Sir?
I was just going to ask, with the low-cost terminal that's being renovated right now at Brooklyn for Via Air, is that going to be just big enough to handle Via Air traffic, or will there be an opportunity to bring in more airlines to that terminal here at Brooklyn before the whole master plan process is complete?
Yeah, the plan for us will be to start small and renovate the terminal in a way that it can handle the traffic associated with Via Air, but it will have the potential to handle many more passengers if we are provided opportunities from other carriers.
What if anything will happen to Doyle Park if an airport is built and commercial service is expanded?
Well, we have not evaluated any impact to Doyle Park. Doyle Park certainly sits outside the airport boundary, and for us to start commercial service, we don't need a footprint that's any larger than what we currently own.
Have you gotten further feasibility studies? Did you get any input from some of the corporate and industrial neighbors, Airbuses and Continentals and people like that, as part of that study?
We did. There were, I would say, at least 10 to 15 large businesses that were interviewed as part of this process. And their issues, concerns, or otherwise is within the report.
One more question, if you don't mind. You said Doyle Park is outside the boundary?
Yeah, we don't own Doyle Park.
Okay. So, the communities between Purcell Street and Virginia Street and Dauphin Island Parkway and Michigan Avenue, these within properties that you might need in order to do what it is that the airport authority needs to do?
Well, at this point, we have not determined what additional land could or would be needed. That will be determined through the airport master plan.
Any other media questions out there?
Yes.
What is your level of confidence that the other carriers will come? You know, we've been through this with Carnival. We built a cruise terminal and we were without a ship for a while. What do you have any way to guarantee they will come and give it?
Well, in this business, there is no guarantees. However, I think that the way that we're approaching it is logical. Again, we're going to start small with a committed carrier in Via Air, and then we will expand as needed if and when other airlines become interested in serving Brooklyn.
Any other questions?
Said,
you know, nothing comes until a contract is signed. How many years could a contract come up? It has to come after this master plan, right? Well, the master plan is not necessarily connected to signing an airline to a contract to start service. I've been in this industry for 15 years, and there are some relationships that airports build with airlines that take 10 years before they start service. There are others that take less than a year. So it's hard to determine until you get them to sign on the dotted line.
If there's no more questions, Mr. Curry can do individual interviews if you need them. If not, that's all for the press conference.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
All right. 1252 FM Talk 106.5 coming right back. We'll talk more about this with you at 343-0106, 343-0106, plus Chris Curry himself, Executive Director of Mobile Airport Authority, coming up in just about 10 minutes here on the show. Questions? I know you got them. Get them ready. We'll talk about it next hour. Oh, this works out good, too. I like this, the Fly Like an Eagle, because not only flying, but today is National American Eagle Day, too. So Bald Eagle represent. Good stuff. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1255, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Hey, coming up next hour. So many questions I'm already looking at on the text line. So you can get your question on the text line. Also, the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5, Facebook page as well. Or call them in, 343-0106, because we have the man who has answers a lot better than me for these questions. Executive Director of the Mobile Airport Authority, Chris Curry, joins us here in just a couple of minutes. I do want to run through a couple of the texts coming in here. And some of these are questions I'm going to hold over till next hour. But I will say, I'm like looking at this texter who had said, okay. Well, first of all, let me get to Eric's text, because Eric, thank you. Eric is, you know, Eric is not just local. He said, can you get local government a good microphone? People asking questions sound like the Charlie Brown cartoon. When the teacher or adult speaks, you mean this? Let me use my high-tech sound effect equipment. Okay, that. Well, Eric, it's not just local. It is. So we're watching, obviously, at the state level, they have big issue with the microphones. And then at the federal level, president talking today. Okay, president's mic was on. Members of Congress commenting on this executive action stopgap measure, they were about inaudible as well. We need to get somebody, you know, with the audio-visual cart to go rolling it up there to Washington. I'm with you, Eric, the mic situation, even in national media levels, I don't really get. All right, let's grab one call here before we go to the news, then coming back next hour, we'll take your calls. And David in Mobile up first. Hey.
Hey, Sean, I was actually at that press conference today.
Yeah, I heard you.
And a couple of the two takeaways I took from the press conference is, one, we don't have to move the passenger service all in one fell swoop. We can kind of do it in phases over time, which is a good thing, which will kind of help with the financial planning of it. But the other takeaway I took was that the building that they're currently renovating, that they're going to put in Via Air in, is actually big enough that if they wanted to bring in the other low-cost carriers like Spirit or Allegiant or any other low-cost carrier, there's enough space in that building they can renovate to actually accommodate that air traffic as well. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is good, and it's a quite. And appreciate your call. Coming back next hour, we'll bring that up with Chris Curry and y'all's questions, which you've stacked up now. So we'll get to those. Run to the news break here, and coming right back, more on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Remember, online, fmtalk1065.com, where I want to hear from you, too, the online opinion poll question. Working off this feasibility of moving the airport from out of Farmers to Berkeley. I said, do you support moving Mobile's airport to Berkeley? Right now, 100% of y'all saying yes. You can vote online right now, fmtalk1065.com.